to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 213 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, how is everybody doing? Man, it feels like forever since I last fired up the microphones, but it's really only been a week. Only skipped last week. Give you guys some extra time to listen to the award show, episode 212. Interesting thing. Depending on how closely you actually listen, there was a good chance you could kind of tell that I was losing my voice towards the end of episode 212. And there's debate on whether or not it's fully back or not. But why I think I lost my voice was because I ended up recording an extra show on Tuesday that if you may already know about that. If not, I'm going to tell you here in a little bit. So plus I did episode 212, plus some stuff with work. Like, my vocal cords got a workout for like six straight hours, it felt like, Tuesday. So by the end of the award show, I was straining to get things out there. And I literally, like, I was talking, you know, I was like no voice for a good 48 hours. And then it finally came back, and it's still a little scratchy every once in a while. But yeah, so there's that. Like I say, it feels like forever. And setting up the system, getting all that ready to go. Like, oh shoot, I forgot to do that. Let me do that. And it's crazy. You know, you do it for 47 weeks straight and you miss a week, and that just throws you off completely, even though it's normally only once a week, but you just get in that habit, man. Let me tell you. But anyways, it's good to be back behind the mic for tonight's little best of show with some fun up here at the front of it. All right. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the Lions and Michigan. That's, you know, I do that all the time, so I have to. And I got to start with the maize and blue, and I truly believe that they just didn't want to play on Saturday. They did not want to get their butts handed to them by OSU. It was an inevitability. It would have been Harbaugh's sixth straight loss to them. You know, of course, you know that's all. You know, just having some fun with it and all. But, you know, sometimes the irony and the theories get fed when you see tweets out like, Michigan had full practice on Sunday. Like, really? 24 hours was the make or break of, nope, can't play a game, to boom, we can have a full practice. Interesting how that works out sometimes. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then the Lions. Oh, the Lions. Well, you know, we fired our head coach and GM, and now they go and they hire some recruiting talent to help with the next head coach and GM picks. You know, Stafford goes out against Green Bay. Like, I mean, it is SOL, same old Lions to a T right now. So, man. You know, I know there are some other teams out there that feel my pain. If you're a Jets fan, let's see, if you're a Dolphins fan, if you're a Giants fan, the difference is I'll have more confidence in all these other three win teams. They'll get to the playoffs and they will win a playoff game well before the Lions will ever do that. And that's just because we have been in a 55-year rebuild, and we've only got the first floor done. So there's that. All right, let's see here. What are we going to do tonight? Well, I hope everyone's getting ready for Christmas. I mean, that's like next week, which is pretty crazy. Around here, the gifts are wrapped and all that. Making some final decisions on what all to make for Christmas dinner. Obviously, a bird's going on the smoker. I always do two meats, and I'm just trying to figure out what that second meat is. Some years I've done a cranberry stuffed pork loin, which honestly is delicious. I've done pasta one year, so I'm just trying to figure out what that second main entree is going to be. You know, so that's what I'm trying to figure out. Other than that, everything's kind of done. And the nice thing is, you know, I saved a bunch of time off from the actual paying job for 2020 with anticipation of going to some races, and I never really wanted to throw that towel in, so I just kept banking my time off. And then obviously didn't get to any races except Michigan, and I didn't even have to take a day off for that. So the nice thing is work's letting me roll over some extra days into 2021, which is cool, but I still had a bunch of days to burn. So I've taken some Fridays off, and I've got from the 24th through the 3rd off, which I am really looking forward to. I have not taken the week of Christmas off in a long time, and I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm stoked to be behind the mic tonight. So here's what I'm going to do on tonight's best of. I got a couple things, as if the 6-minute rant here hasn't been long enough, that I just want to highlight, run down the next couple weeks of the show, the announcement of the second show that I did last week with Pocono. I'll spoil that there, and I'll get to a little bit more in a minute. Something cool coming up with PETM in a couple weeks. And then I'll drop in a best of or two, and we'll just see where the time is at. I'm not going to give you a 2-hour best of, I promise you that. But I maybe just got another 5 minutes here or so. And I actually haven't, I truthfully, I have not even picked whose best of I'm going to throw in here yet. So we're just going to see where the wind blows, that's for sure. So I'll start with this. I hope you all have checked out the award show from December 1st, which officially closed out season 4 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. And this is kind of like the purgatory part of the year for the show, because I really don't count this as under season 4, because you obviously got to end on a high note, which is what the award show does. And it's not season 5 yet, so these shows are just kind of there, just hanging out nowhere. But go check out the award show, some special guest appearances. Had a really great time there. Tonight, December 15th, and next week, December 22nd, which is actually kind of cool because the show's actually falling on my birthday, and I'll open all my gifts on the air. No, just kidding. But that's kind of cool. So tonight, next week, kind of be a best of thing. I'll hop on next week and you know, do a little spiel at the start and throw in an interview or two and all that. And then the following week, where the show would normally be posted on Tuesday, the 29th, gonna hold off a night because December 30th, Ol Sherwin from the PETM podcast is coming up to the D. That's right. He's coming up to Michigan for New Year's. He's going to hang out with Lindsay and I for a few days, picking him up Thursday afternoon. So we're going to do an in studio Lap Traffic with Sherwin from PETM. And who knows, we might blind call some people. We'll talk a little silly season and probably just shoot the shit for who knows until we feel like hitting the stop button is how that's going to roll. So that's going to take us over into the next year. And then, I mean, come January, I'll get Lap Traffic season 5 info out there for the Fantasy League. And I can't believe next year marks the 5th year of the podcast. Definitely going to try to do some special things throughout the year. Of course, you guys know how much I love to create builds and narratives and all that. And hey, it's year 5 next year, so definitely have some fun with that. So like I said, so last week in lieu of doing the show, like I said, I kept the award show up there fresh. I want to do something special. Wanted to pay it forward a bit. You know, you guys have retweeted. You guys have done so much to help the show grow. I'm so blessed and fortunate with where the show is and you know, just never thought it would grow to where it's at. And I wanted to do something to kind of give back, something different, something that I haven't ever done before. You may have saw the tweet that I had tweeted out last week. I was going to give away some shirts, but instead of doing retweets and follows for that, I asked for your favorite charity. And I was going to pick a few that I thought were good, give you a shirt, and make a little donation to your charity. And I tell you guys, that was so much fun. You know, the winners got a $25 donation, but then it was like, well, how do you say no to some of these awesome charities? So I ended up making a $10 donation to everyone else's that submitted their pick by the deadline. And I say this not for the credit, because that's not why, but I say it as a thank you for inspiring me, one, to do the show, for inspiring me to help others and to help spread and pay it forward, because I know there were some other people that ended up doing some stuff as well. So it gave me goosebumps. Last week when all those things, charities were coming in and all that kind of stuff. And I loved how excited people got about that. And that was special. And so I just wanted to put it on the show as well, because of how special I thought that was and how awesome it was. So, thank you for that. And speaking of prizes and shirts and all that, all the prizes from the shirt giveaways to the awards to the fantasy prizes have all been mailed out. And I think everyone's gotten them with the exception of one or two that are still stuck in Snowwaresville at some post office. If you're expecting something and did not get it from me yet, hit me up and I can at least get you a tracking number or something like that so that you can at least have an idea of where it's at. All right. And lastly, and then I'll stop babbling, I promise. If you follow Pocono Raceway on Twitter, you might have seen a tweet or two from them yesterday about their podcast, which is really cool. So they do a podcast during the off season. It features a different topic each year. This year, they are featuring the different amateur NASCAR podcasts that are out there. And yours truly, the Lap Traffic Podcast, is kicking off episode one of season four of the Pocono Raceway Podcast. I am so excited for this to drop this week. So make sure you go check that out. I'm also excited to hear the other podcasts, and there might be a giveaway announcement made on the show. So you're definitely going to want to tune in. I am so excited. It was a complete surprise to me when they told me while we were recording, and it's pretty sweet. So definitely go follow Pocono Raceway on Twitter and go check out season four of the Pocono Raceway podcast and catch yours truly, the Lab Traffic Podcast. All right. It's enough rambling there. Let's get to a best of interview. Let's see who we got. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver, the number 16 with Colic Racing, and he is the winner of this past weekend's Echo Park 250 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Welcome to the show, AJ Allmendinger. AJ, what's up, man? How are you?
We're doing well, man. Excellent. Just as we speak right now, got done celebrating with the race team. But as we know in this sport, don't have a lot of time to celebrate. You enjoy it, and the race team is getting ready to go to Homestead this weekend. I'll be racing on the Sunday race in the Dash for Cash. Me and my teammate Justin Haley are two of four drivers that can go win of $100,000 courtesy of Xfinity. So yeah, getting ready, but definitely taking a little bit of time to enjoy.
That's all, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, like you don't get to let that soak in for very long before it's like, all right, you know, change gears and where are we going? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of the sport, right? It's good and bad, because you do well and can't wait to get back to the racetrack. And if you don't do well, well, you got to race the next weekend most of the time. So, you know, with this pandemic, it's been crazy. So obviously everything's condensed now and a lot more races in a shorter period of time. The way the weekends work, really just show up and race, no practice. And Colic Racing, I feel like, has really been fantastic about unloading the race cars and having the ride heights and everything set perfectly. And at least the last two races that I've done, Bristol and Atlanta, cars have been fast. And not just myself, but all three of us. Justin Haley finished third at Atlanta. Ross Chastain, he ran second and third in the stages, got a little bit too loose in the last stage and finished seventh, and honestly was pretty disappointed with that. So when you finish seventh in the Xfinity series and are really disappointed with that, that's a pretty good sign that the team is moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a top 10 for all three drivers. You know, when you've got guys out there like Kyle Busch running on the track, right? You know, I think the joke, so to speak, now is if you're able to win as an Xfinity regular with him on the track, that almost adds extra notoriety to your win from that point. So for all three of you guys to finish in the top 10, absolutely awesome. I absolutely love
watching this team. I've done and had Ross has been on the show a couple times. Justin's been on the show. So happy to have you on the show. And it's been so fun to watch Kolig over these last couple seasons. I feel like, you know, they're starting to become that household name with the SHRs and the Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity series. Talk a little bit about, you know, your involvement with the team. It's awesome to see the help that you're able to provide them. There's such a great dynamic around Kolig Racing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I joined the team kind of mid-season last year. I think we did, top of my head, 5 races, the Daytona and the Ford road course races. So the plan earlier this year was to kind of do the same thing, run all 3 super speedway races, and run the, which turned into 5 road course races now that Roger Penske and NASCAR, they have switched Indy to the road course. So we were going to run 8 races, and the original plan actually was to run Martinsville as well, because I love Martinsville. It's the first year in a long time that Xfinity has been at Martinsville. Maybe ever, actually. I'm not sure. It's been a long time. It hasn't been since I,
at least.
Yeah, it's been a lot longer than I've been in NASCAR. Let's put it that way. But, I wanted to run Martinsville. I just wanted to run a non-super speedway oval. But with that said, Martinsville is the second last race of the season. So at that point, really, we hope that Kolig Racing has 2 cars going to Phoenix as the final 4. So that kind of got put on the back burner. And when we missed Daytona, didn't qualify for the race, we had a mechanical failure in qualifying, and our car not having any points, the 16 team, we didn't make the race. So Matt Kolig, being the generous guy that he is, and Chris Rice, said, hey, pick an oval. Let's pick whatever you want. Let's go to it, and we'll run that race to make up for it. And, you know, I told him, I said, hey, you don't have to worry about it. You guys take plenty good care of me. And they said, no, we got to make this up. So the original plan was Bristol, and pandemic happened, and we still stayed on the schedule with Bristol, and Atlanta came up and they offered me to race, and thank goodness to go get my first oval win. But yeah, I mean, so the long answer to this is this team's only 5 years old, and in this day and age, we want everything now, right? Yep. Like, we got to have it now. You just don't get success like that in NASCAR. There's no teams that just show up and have immediate success. So I really think over the last 2 seasons, and it started with Justin Haley when he showed up, and I don't mean to say this any disrespect to the previous drivers, but Justin Haley stepped the program up, and then Ross ran some races, and that really kind of got it going in the right direction. And I got the road course package a little bit better, but this year Kolig Racing has really stepped out, and I just feel like building fast race cars. They got in-house engineers for the first time ever with this race team. So Matt Kolig and Chris Rice are doing everything they can to make this team a success, and it's happening.
It's so fun to watch such a young team develop so quickly and doing it the right way too. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch that success, because you can just see the excitement with everybody. The crews, the drivers, the owners, you see them on the track. It's really just been a lot of fun to watch, which is just incredible. Speaking of your first oval win there, you did a video that the team posted out on social media yesterday. You know, for years, you know, we watch guys like Marcus Ambrose, Juan Pablo Montoya try to grab that first oval win. You got it done, man, but you seemed almost just as happy for that team, which is kind of, you know, what you just mentioned there a little bit ago, that dynamic there. But how special was that for you just to get that one, you know, check mark off that box there?
Well, it's special to me. It's when you show up in NASCAR and it's predominantly all ovals. I mean, that's what, as a driver, you're expected to do, is go out there and win. And, you know, in Cup, I had several opportunities that just, it didn't work out. Sure. It was close. I mean, Martinsville so many times, Dover, when I was with Petty Motorsports, we were really fast there. And it just, heck, one time I was leading by 8 seconds and got a flat tire. We blew up leading the race. I mean, it just never happened. And, you know, I was somewhat emotional after the race, just excited and emotional inside, because 2 things. It was I just wanted to win on an oval and prove it to myself. And more importantly, I just want to keep giving back to Matt Colleague and the whole organization for giving me these opportunities to go out and drive the race cars and try to make this team better. And I put so much pressure on myself, especially with a guy like Matt Colleague, because I mean, he doesn't have to put me in his car. He's got two fantastic drivers.
Sure.
And that third car, they specifically just really do it for me. And the best way to pay him back is go out there and win races. And we won the Roval last year, and that's, you know, why I showed up. That's what they expected me to do. And we made the program better and got the car right for the Roval and we won. But I wanted to do it on an oval, and that's what I told him. Absolutely. I said, and don't get me wrong, we go to Talladega in a couple weeks and we win, I'm not going to turn it down. But I wanted to win on an oval that wasn't a little bit of luck and drafting. I wanted to win on an oval that you had to manhandle a race car. And I can't believe it happened.
That's awesome. You mentioned at the start here, you know, in terms of like kind of showing up, no practice, all that. Is that extra challenging for you since, you know, you're not doing it week in, week out now? You know, what's your take on the no practice, no qualifying? Do you like it? Is it adding to the level of competition out there? Do you want to see practice come back once things get back to normal?
Well, if you're asking me from Saturday, no, I don't want practice to come back. You know, it's strange. It definitely is nerve-wracking for me going into each race because I've never, even though I've been at these racetracks, an Xfinity car is different than a Cup car.
Sure.
And I haven't driven at any of these racetracks besides the road courses in over 2 years, really. So, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, and I'm nervous before the race not knowing what I'm going to go out there and feel and kind of having to learn on the fly. But I will say, Colleague Racing, I mean, the work that the engineers are putting in to get this stuff right when we unload, just comparing it to Bristol, the first race that I ran with the team, and now Atlanta, I mean, these cars are fast, and the engineers and crew chiefs are doing an amazing job. I don't want to say guessing because they're – putting the work in and working at all the sim and everything. But I mean, they are making the right adjustments and right settings to start with. And that's what you have to do when you have no practice and really only have maybe 3-4 pit stops at most during the race to try to adjust on the car. So for how competitive that these race cars have been the last couple of weeks, no, I don't really want practice to come back.
Fair enough. I got it. Hey, so talk about for a minute here what it was like, you know, showing up at the track with an empty infield, you know, no fans in the garage, you know, no fans partying, the empty grandstands at the end, you know, could you tell while you were racing and how impactful was it not having fans there pre and post race?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, once you get in the car, you don't really notice it. You can kind of look up there under yellow and yeah, it looks a little weird. But yeah, it's definitely strange, like getting into the racetrack and it's quiet and you just look around, there's nothing going on.
Test day or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, well, heck, most tire test days, you'd have people, either the grandstands would be open and people would show up and watch or heck, maybe have a couple people sneak in. But, yeah, we want the fans back. We want them. We need them. This is what makes the sport thrive. We're happy looking at the TV ratings that they're at least watching and more people are maybe getting a taste of NASCAR that have never seen it before. So, I mean, that's the one positive take out of it. But yeah, it's before the race is strange. And then now I know how Kevin Harvick felt when he got out of the car at Darlington for the first time. It was like, you get out and you're just like, hey, nobody's here. Weird. And yeah. I will say at least in Victory Lane, when I pulled in and jumped out, they have like TV screens, almost like if you watched the NFL draft, when Goodell would announce the next pick and they would have the fans in the screens behind them from that specific team. At least NASCAR had that at Atlanta. I don't know if like that at every race, but Atlanta they did where they had some fans watching. So at least I got a little cheer when I got out of the car, but it is weird for sure.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you started at the back, you worked your way to the front. And as you mentioned, because you're not going to run the first race, you're going to run the second race for the Dash for Cash. You're going to have to do that all over again, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, it's working. Why change it up? So, we're going to have to start at the back. The good thing is we'll have two fast college Chevys on Saturday with Justin Haley and Ross Chastain. I hope one of them wins it. They deserve it for sure. Both of them been so close this year and hopefully just getting that first one for the team, the floodgates open up. But I'll be able to, although I won't be there, I was planning on at least flying with the team and being there, but I completely forgot till I was told I'm not allowed at the track on Saturday.
With
the way this works, I'm not on the roster Saturday. Can't get in the track, even though I got a hard card and I'm a driver. So I'll be watching at home on TV and trying to study and learn as much as I can. And hopefully they have a great race and we learn a lot with the setups of the race cars, and we can take that into Sunday. And from there, it's just about doing the same thing that I've done the last two races, go out there and try to get a good feel. And the benefit of not racing for points is I can take those first two stages and really just take my time and learn, okay, what's the car want? What's this track doing? Get used to the racetrack and not have to like feel like I got to go out there and push early to try to get stage points.
Absolutely.
Of course you want to get up there for track position, but I can kind of work my way up there, and which is what I did at Atlanta. So we'll try to do the same thing again on Sunday.
Awesome. All right. Last one for you real quick. Just talk about the broadcast side of things, that transition for you. Was it weird? Like, you know, calling it and picking apart the races, wanting to be out there on the track, you know, is it more relaxed environment for you? You know, talk a little bit about the transition over to the broadcast side of things.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate with NBC Sports to allow me to what I call just be a race fan and talk about it, because that's truly what I am. I'm a fan of motorsports, and I'm a fan of all forms of motorsports. So it allows me just to kind of fanboy it and watch it live and talk about it as it's going on. And specifically to really anything that I did last year, I was very fortunate that there's just great people that I can bounce off of. So I'm nervous before doing them. And it's different than talking about it or doing interviews like this and then having to call it live on TV.
Sure.
And not just sound completely off when you're doing it. But with the IMSA side of it, Lee Diffie and Calvin Fish that have, I mean, just so many years, and they're so talented. So I could just be myself, and they just said, be you. Talk about what you see, et cetera. Do all that. You don't have to worry about the right rear tire changer's name, et cetera, things right. like that. So it's been a lot of fun. And then I got to go do Supercross. So I got to work with the GOAT, Ricky Carmichael and Ralph Shaheen. So I have a lot of great people around me when I do these shows, and it makes it a lot of fun. Sure, there's times I miss it. I'm like, I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, I want to be out there. But the racing's so good, I get excited about talking about it as well. So I always feel like I can keep improving on that, just like being in a race car. But so fortunate that NBC Sports gave me that opportunity as well. And because of that, they allowed me to come do these races, and knowing that by me racing, I'm better on camera talking about it. Absolutely. So kind of the best of both worlds right now.
That's awesome. That is so cool. AJ, where can everybody follow you at and keep up with you on social media?
I'm on Twitter. So at AJ Dinger. You'll see a lot of pictures of my family, which is my wife, Tara, and more importantly, the children, my cat, Mr. Tickles, that is very famous now, and our new addition over the last 2 months, a French bulldog named Zena.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That's at AJ Dinger. And
awesome.
Obviously on College Racing, all of their social media as we're racing, and they do such a great job keeping the fans updated and involving the fans. So catch me there.
That's awesome. AJ, man, thank you so much for taking some time out to call on the show. It was an honor to have you on. Look forward to watching you this weekend to go win that Dash for Cash. Hope you and the family stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck the rest of the season, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, there you have one of two appearances AJ Allmendinger made on the show, and thought, hey, AJ with Caller going to be making a full-time season next year, 2021. Definitely look forward to getting him back on next year again for sure, and excited to watch him go compete for that championship. I think he's probably inherited
The favorite, maybe, between him and Austin Cindric, for sure. Wouldn't be surprised if those two are in the final four, for sure. All right, let's see here. I think we're going to drop in a little social media because, hey, why not do some shameless plugs? Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Lap Traffic PC. YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean. It's now on Pandora. And hey, you can also tell Alexa to play the Lap Traffic Podcast, which is pretty cool. Get some giveaways and stuff like that. I've been toying with the notion of doing something now. Do I wait till January? So I don't know. We'll see what goes on there. I sent out, I think, 7 koozies today, which is pretty cool. If you want a koozie, just go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page with your name and address, and I'll send one out to you for free. And I got to give a shout out here to my buddy Blair. Blair's got a pretty cool Facebook group, NASCAR Diecast and Autographs Auctions. And Blair has he gets a lot of inventory, let's put it that way. And it's not just a, hey, here's X car for $130. Blair does some cool auctions. He does, ticket spots to where, hey, it's $10 an entry. He randomly draws. It's all live. I've done some of those. I've bought where he shipped. I've bought in person. Truly legit and a lot of cool inventory. So go check out NASCAR Diecast and Autographs on Facebook there. Or if you can't find it, message me, and I will definitely send you a link to the Facebook group. All right, let's get one more best of interview here for you guys. Let's see who we got this time. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fifth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He has 3 wins, 6 top fives, 10 top tens this year in the Truck Series. He is the driver of the number 98 with Thor Sport Racing. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Grant Enfinger. Grant, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me back on the show.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I love talking to you. The listeners love it when you're on. I mean, the listeners love the Truck Series. It's just, it's the best series in racing as far as I'm concerned, man. And I am so excited to get to talk to you. But before we get started, man, I hear you are down in your hometown state of Alabama helping some friends that got caught up in the hurricane down there. That's awesome that you're able to go down there and do that. How's everyone going and doing down there?
Man, everybody's doing fine, but our little town of Fairhope, Alabama, got hit pretty hard with Hurricane Sally. So, fortunately, not a lot of houses blown away or anything like that, but a lot of roof damages, a lot of trees down. We got beautiful trees. My parents' house here in Fairhope, he's got a ton of pecan trees here. He's down to about 3 or 4 is still standing. So,
oh, wow.
Took its toll on all the trees down here. So, just down here, helping my folks out for a couple of days, before I head to Las Vegas.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. Grant, the last time you were on the show was right after your Daytona win, pre-COVID. So it's been a minute since you've been on the show. Here we are, it's truck playoff time. Was it an adjustment getting back going for you once things fired back up in May?
You know, it was a huge adjustment. Obviously this year has been different for everybody, but it's been extremely different for us. And really our entire approach to the season changed. It's a big deal, not having fans of the track. That aspect of it is a lot different. We're really not on the grounds for very long. It is it's a really big deal that our sponsors aren't there either. We do a lot of activation, especially with the guys from Champion Power Equipment. We do a lot of activation at the track and all. We haven't been able to do any of that this year. But really the biggest change for us is we're not practicing. No practice, no qualifying, just line them up and go. And really that changes how we approach a lot of things. It changes my mindset going into the race, obviously, but it also changes, some of the calls that Jeff Hensley makes before we leave the shop. And obviously we always, put our, the best setup under our F-150 that we can before we go to any race. But now we have to really dial in our travels, our cambers, we can't miss that because we're kind of married to that when the race starts. There's not a lot we can do to change that. So it's a lot of critical setup adjustments are made at the shop, and man, that has just changed our mindset all the way around. But I feel like our Thorn Sport Racing guys have excelled at the challenge, and have kind of hit it head on. So we know what we got to do for these next six races, and we're just going to try to keep on doing it.
That's awesome. You know, you mentioned the guys at the shop, and you know, we hear it in Victory Lane interviews all the time, right? Oh, I got to thank the guys back at the shop. Am I off in saying that 2020 has been the most in terms of what the guys at the shop are doing?
You know, I think it's changed as far as, you know, a lot of the guys at Thorsport Racing, you know, the guys that are working on our 98 F-150 during the week are most of the same guys that are at the track with us. There are some shop specific guys at Thorsport Racing, and those guys have to dig hard constantly. But yeah, now 95% of the work is done at the shop, and not to say that it wasn't beforehand. Most of the work was done at the shop, but now we don't numb bolt it after practice. We're not making, you know, adjustments on the fly during practice. So now when the guys are at the track, we're pretty much just getting through tech and getting all the pits set up and going races. So it's a lot different aspect when we are on the grounds. But because, you know, we had such a long break with the pandemic and going back racing, now we're racing pretty much every week, which for the truck guys, we're not exactly used to doing that. So I feel like Jeff Hensley does a good job of keeping our trucks in rotation good and ahead of schedule, so we have time to really do the fine tuning on our trucks ahead of time. I feel like, you know, our specific team excels on that. But man, the guys in the fab shop at Thorsport Racing have been working overtime
and
putting on fenders and putting on front clips and whatever they got to do. And that is something we're not, you know, we're not used to doing. Sure. I'm not going to say we're not set up to do that, but we're not used to do that. And those guys have had to dig really deep to keep us going through this stretch.
Well, you know, and I just want to point out and for the listeners with that, you know, normally on any given truck series year, you know, it's after the first couple races, you know, it might be a week on, 2 weeks off, or 2 weeks on, 1 week. You know, the truck series definitely has a lot more built-in breaks to allow for smaller teams and all of that to be able to handle, you know, setups for different trucks for maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks at a time. But since we've been back under COVID, I mean, yeah, like you said, you guys have been back almost every week at the track to make sure everything gets, you know, we get all our races in.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot, you know, and really I feel like it threw me and Hensley for a tailspin early on when we were in the middle of that pandemic and you know, we're going through different scenarios of schedules and stuff like that, and now that everything's happening and we're racing week in and week out, it's now we know everything we got to do. It's just time to get to work and do it, and I feel like our guys have done a great job with that. So you know, there's been a few races that we've missed it on, but by and large, man, we've done good. I feel like we've hit our travels, which is absolutely critical in this day and time of racing. So we do that on a regular basis. We for the most part have hit the balance good. There was a stretch of races in there that I feel like we're kind of digging a hole in the first stage, but man, we would dig ourselves out of it the second stage and the final stage, but man, it's kind of like everybody says, we're all in this together for the most part. Everybody's got the same marching orders. Everybody is going through this the same, but I feel like, you know, this championship is going to come down to the guys that have adapted the best and the guys that are just getting in there and giving it all they got.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely love that. I'm
Sulp geeked and pumped for the playoffs. You know I love my trucks, man. Grant, so let's talk about the last two races. You get the win at Richmond with a great battle with your teammate, Matt Crafton. You pick up the first win at Richmond. The trucks haven't been there in 15 years. This past Thursday, Bristol started on the pole, finished sixth, top 10 car most of the night. You know, talk about what you guys were able to hit on for Richmond and where you guys kind of maybe just fell a little short at Bristol to not really get up there and compete for the win on Thursday night.
Yeah, overall we we started at Richmond because that was a good one. We just hit it right. And really from the beginning we were a little tight the first run, but Hensley was able to frame me up a little bit and man, we were able to set sail for the remaining part of the race and had a little bit of drama. Had a left rear tire rub that we had to come in on the green and fix. And went a lap down during that, but able to get our lap back. And able to kind of make a strategy call, but I think we're about half and half on the good trucks that pitted and some good trucks stayed out and it stayed green and we had to come all the way from the back from I don't know 18th or 20th spot there and drove our way to the front there with about six, seven laps to go. So exciting race there. But really the biggest thing is, man, we just had a lot of speed in our Champion Power Equipment F-150. And that definitely made all the difference. And then going back to Bristol, which was, like you mentioned, last Thursday night, started on the pole and just bumped the splitter a little bit at the very beginning of the race and fell back to second. And then we had a caution early on and restarting back from that caution, the engine starts shutting off started shutting off on me every lap just for, you know, a split second or so, but enough to really hurt our performance and able to crutch that through the entire first stage and still ended up finishing the first stage fifth. But the very last few laps of that, it was getting really bad. We were able to come down pit road, diagnose our issue, have my buddy Tyler jumped in the cockpit with me for a little bit and swapped out the ECU. And then we took off for the rest of the race and never had another issue. The problem is we had lost all of our track position. Sure. So we had a pretty good F-150 there at Bristol and had new partners ADS and Lucas Oil on board, so give a quick shout out to those guys, but we weren't good enough to all the way rebound from that. We were pretty good, just not great, able to drive our way up to six. I feel like we were about an adjustment away from being able to contend for the win. But we were just a little bit off and had to work our guts out to get some of that track position back.
Sure.
But,
well, and that just
still a good run.
Yeah. Well, and that just kind of goes back to what you talked about earlier with no practice. Had you guys had at least a practice, you probably would have found that out real quick. And then you wouldn't, would have been a non-factor for the race and you wouldn't have had to battle and come from behind during the race after having to fix that on pit road.
Yeah, definitely. And that's just something, there was one or two other little, engine or electrical related issues there. And, you know, the no practice and compounded with, it rained all day there. And man, these, you know, as much fine tuning as we do to these and as much as we do, all these electrical systems are pretty finicky.
Sure.
So, fortunately we were able to salvage what could have been a devastating night. We could have very easily gone a lap down when we were making those changes. And like I said, our guys did an incredible job not allowing that to happen. But also if the engine would have shut off at the wrong time or wasn't able to keep limping it along, we could have dug our hole, the first stand in that, the first round of these playoffs, we could have dug a big hole, but we didn't do that. We were able to still salvage a decent points night and we're still seated fourth, with really, you know, our plan doesn't change moving forward to Vegas. I feel like, you know, it very easily could have gone a different way where we would have have had to, you know, maybe change our game plan a little bit for Vegas, but able to salvage what we could, and we're still in good shape.
That's awesome. I love it. Grant, last year you dominated the regular season, consistent 18 top 10s in 23 races. This year, not to say you're not consistent, top 10s are just a tick down, but you got three wins this year, which is obviously the important part there. So what was the difference maker last year to this year in terms of where you guys just couldn't get that win last year to where you were able to knock three of them off this year?
You know, I think the biggest win, or the biggest thing for us is winning early. You know, we're able to win right out of the gate at Daytona, which solidifies our spot in the playoffs, which allows myself and Jeff Hensley to be more aggressive.
Sure.
So I feel like we won Atlanta with some aggressive play calling at the track and also some aggressive settings from the shop. So I do credit our Atlanta win to the fact that we were already locked in. I feel like that had a lot to do with the fact that we were able to get another one. You know, I don't know if it had anything to do with Richmond. I feel like we just hit
just
it all
at Richmond.
Yep, we just did our job at Richmond, I think. But I will say it. I mean, we have not been our normal consistent this year. We just haven't, and I think a lot of that is because, you know, we've just been a little bit more aggressive and you know, we've taken more risk. But also some of this stuff just hasn't worked out. You know, for whatever reason last year, you know, even when we were off a little bit, we could still contend for a top five in just about every stage. And not to say that we were running top five, but we had the speed and, you know, even if we were a little tight or a little loose or we missed something, you know, we could crutch it along and still be all right. This year, and I, you know, I think some of it is a no practice deal, but some of it is the increased amount of good competitive trucks that we have this year. There's another five, six, seven trucks that can win races that are racing with us each and every week this year. So now when we miss it, now we're running 12th, 14th, and I mean, racing our guts out, trying to get into the top 10 to just get any kind of stage points. And that's really been the biggest difference for us. And man, it seems like this year you don't have to miss it very much to be, you know, mid pack, you know, running with those guys, and the air gets progressively worse. Every spot you move back,
absolutely,
the air gets so much worse and it's so much harder to run. But man, it's tough, but I feel like, you know, when we have been able to hit it this year, we haven't taken advantage of every situation, but we've taken advantage of a lot of them. And that's why we got three wins.
Absolutely.
To our credit this year.
For sure. Grant, last year, you know, we just talked, you know, dominated the regular season there. Thor had a great regular season last year. And you guys as an organization had one of the most strange and odd exits in the playoffs that I couldn't have even dreamt up what happened to you guys as a whole at Las Vegas last year. You guys are headed back there this weekend. I imagine you guys as an organization have had this track circled since last year.
Yeah, you know, I always watch, you know, last year's races, but before we go to the track and all that, and man, it was heartbreak all over again watching this one. But yeah, just kind of incredible turn of events for us last year, where all three, well, we have four Thor Sport Racing F-150s, but three of them all blew up. Ours blew up first, which eliminated us out of the playoffs right off the bat, and then Crafton and Sauter blew up literally on the same straightaway on the same lap.
My God, that was so weird, man.
and then our teammate, he was on his way to blowing up, and then lo and behold, they find out every truck there was on their way to blowing up. The number seven cylinder there, it was just leaned out. The settings were wrong, and it just basically for simplification, it was leaning out all the motors, and you know, just the climate in Vegas and they're just a goof up in the settings. And
sure.
And anyway, it was definitely a strange turn of events. Definitely, you don't ever want to be eliminated from the playoffs, but to have something you know, kind of goofy out of your control doing that was definitely something that still stings for us. So yeah, we want to go back there and get some redemption. I feel like really all of our teammates were pretty quick there earlier this year. We were decent in parts of the race. We ended up getting in a wreck earlier this year at Vegas, but we showed some speed, especially in that second stage before that happened. And our teammate Johnny was really fast there earlier this year. So I'm anxious to get back there. I definitely feel like it's a place that we can win at. But really, we just kind of have to do us. We don't really have to worry about our standpoint right now. And really all we can look to is Vegas, is to just worry about ourselves. We don't really have to worry about everybody else. If we can, you know, just have a good solid night and hopefully contend for a win at the end, it would definitely alleviate a lot of stress, to go ahead and win. Absolutely. At Vegas before we end the final stand of the first round there at Talladega the following week.
Well, you know, I mean, Vegas is, I mean, from a numbers standpoint, it's definitely would appear to be one of your favorite tracks. You got to win a bunch of top tens there. Would you view it as one of your favorite tracks? Because, like I said, you've definitely had a ton of success there.
You know, I feel like overall the mile and a half in general are pretty solid for us. Sure. Especially Thor Sport Racing in general seems to excel at these mile and a half tracks. Us on this 98 team, we've been a little bit hit or miss, but I go back. We were trying some stuff earlier this year because we could. You know, we had that benefit of locking ourselves in early, so we were able to try some stuff. But you know, there were some tracks earlier this year, Vegas being one of them, that we ran pretty decent at. There were some others that we were trying some stuff at that we didn't run good at. But I definitely feel like we have used this season to learn a little bit, and I feel like we can go back there and not have to trick anybody, not have to throw any Hail Marys at the shop, either the shop or the track, just kind of be solid, you know, and I feel like if we are solid, and we hit all our settings right, we can still contend for a win.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, Grant, I'll end it with this. We'll have some fun with this last one here. So, at the start, you know, it took me a minute to put two and two together, in terms of all the times we've talked before, but you're from Alabama. Alabama, obviously a big college football town and state and all that. And your organization, Thor Sport Racing, is out of Ohio. The Buckeyes, I'm a Wolverine, maize and blue. Like, it's amazing. I feel like that we've got such a great relationship that we have, man.
It really is. So, I don't mind the Michigan so much. Obviously, we can't stand Ohio State. They're right underneath Auburn as far as the most detested teams that we see. But yeah, fortunately, our team owner Duke Thorson, who loves everything to do with Ohio except for sports up there, he seems to hate the Buckeyes with the same passion I do. So
we're all good.
Have that going for us.
I love it. That's hysterical. I love it. Oh man, Grant, this was so much fun, man. I love having you on. It's great to talk to you. Just to give you the 411, last week was episode 200 of the show, and I wanted to kick off the next 200 episodes with a great guest, and I'm so glad you were able to make this work, man, because you're kicking things off for the next 200 with episode 201, man. So I'm so happy that we were able to make this work.
Man, that is awesome, and that's a good milestone. And I guess what that puts me at 2.5% or so.
Yeah, I'm
on the show 2.5% of the time. That's
yes,
pretty good. I think.
Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Huge thanks to Grant Enfinger, driver the number 98 with Thor Sport Racing, for calling in. Grant, best of luck to you the rest of the playoffs. Stay safe, stay healthy, and best wishes to your friends and family down there in Alabama, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll see you.
Lap Traffic had to get Grant Enfinger in a best of. Absolutely love Grant. He's become a good friend of the show, and I absolutely love getting to talk with him. He's so much fun, and look forward to seeing him out on the track next season for sure. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. I think that's going to do it for this best of episode 213 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Big thanks to Pocono Raceway for having me on their podcast. Make sure you go check out their show this week with yours truly. Next week, best of, and the following week, catch Sherwin from PETM live in studio. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to The Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!